Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to another wonderful podcast episode of Dr. Tom and the Gold-Blooded King. I am the Gold-Blooded King, Daniel Hardy, along with Dr. Tom. Thomas Bevilacqua, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm all right. Just, you know, counting down the days, enjoying seeing the Warriors getting used to Chase Center, but ready for some real basketball to start so Ben Simmons can start making threes in games that count.
Wait, he made a three?
Yeah, he made a three-pointer tonight. It stopped the internet.
Whoa, okay. I don't know what dark magic he's messing with. That's pretty scary.
Christmas came early. Also,
as you folks may have heard, we've got some new voices, but kind of some old voices, some folks who were around the time of the finals. Some folks come over from Raptors HQ. It hurts to say this, but welcome, champs. How y'all doing?
Wow, that has such a great sound to it, and I'm totally not used to it. How's everyone doing? Obviously, we are doing great because this is new ground for us. This whole defending champs.
Well, thing. Please introduce yourself to our audience along with how great it feels.
Oh yeah, my name is Jay Rosales, co-host of That's a Wrap podcast over on Raptors HQ, and yeah, thanks for having us on, and thanks for the intro. You know, joining me on this pod is Dre. Introduce yourself, buddy.
Yeah, this is Dre. Thank you for having us back. And, you know, I've got to be honest, me being called a champ, I have as much to do with the title as Drake did. So I'm not going to like take that. But as a Raptors fan, yeah, it feels great. Thank you for having us back. It was definitely one of the best playoff runs of the decade. It was just exhilarating, the whole thing, and we're super glad to be back. But I think we've got a really interesting discussion ahead, and I'm excited to get down to it.
Well, you know, since Steve Kerr took over as head coach for the Golden State Warriors, only two teams have actually eliminated the Golden State Warriors from the playoffs and happened to be in the finals to an Eastern Conference team. So first was the Cleveland. I can barely even say it. I guess so mad when I think about it.
No, they don't exist anymore. Yo, KD destroyed them. There is no franchise. They're just a gaping hole in Ohio where that franchise used to be.
That is true.
As a Raptors fan, right, good.
Yeah.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So from there we go to. Last June, when the Toronto Raptors knocked us off in a thrilling, dramatic, gritty, gripping finals. And so what was that like, fellas, becoming champs?
Oh, it was unreal. You know, I'm old enough to know when the last time the city of Toronto celebrated any kind of major championship. And that was the Toronto Blue Jays in 93. And I was not even a teenager at the time. And, you know, obviously it was exhilarating at the time, but this is just unreal. You know, as Dre already kind of hinted at earlier, it was quite a ride, unforgettable. And, you know, everyone who listens to this pod is obviously used to that feeling, you know, having won three of the last four of the previous four. So, I mean, it's, if you remember what that feeling was like that first year when you dismantled the Cavaliers quite easily. I mean, it was, you remember that feeling, and that's exactly what we went through. And, you know, we celebrated and we're still celebrating. And I don't know if you guys did the same after your first championship, but the feeling around the city right now is just, it's almost like we're playing with house money, and whatever happens this season happens, you know, and we love the sound of defending champions. Like, just hearing defending champions from any broadcaster throughout the season is just going to put an immediate smile on any Toronto Raptors fan's face.
Yeah, I echo a lot of those sentiments. I follow a few NBA teams. As you might remember from last time, I said Golden State was one of them during the Baron Davis years, not not that long ago. And I remember when the Mavericks won, because that was like my team, like as a teenager, that was like my go-to. I loved Dirty Dirk. I loved the Steve Nash years, followed them through and through. So when they won, I was ecstatic, but it's not quite the same when a team that you love happens to represent the city that you're from and the buzz is everywhere. You see all of these hats, these shirts. People are still wearing the championship hats and shirts, and it still strikes some conversation like, hey, you know, what's next for us? I don't know, but we got it. We did. You know, it feels great. So I can't even imagine on your end, that's been a nonstop buzz. I don't even care about the Cleveland year for like 4 straight years. That must have been like something else. You probably have hats everywhere. It's like a dynasty. It's unreal, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you're right that, like, whether it's that, like, you're talking about the time in between championships for the city of Toronto, and that there's that weight, or that, you know, the Warriors winning in 2015, it was this franchise that was sort of this moribund one. But what I remember, like, that first run, it just, there are these kind of memories and moments that stand out in a very particular way, like the... Like Steph had those the shot against New Orleans, or the like three quarters shot against Memphis, and there are other ones along the way. But I wonder, like, as you now, you know, we look back as because we're gearing up for the next season, so we start to look back on the past season and the postseason, because you know when you know you're a champion, like, you know, we've been and you are, so that, you know, we can talk about this stuff. When you look back on a championship season, What are those moments in the postseason that you will never forget, that will always stand out to you?
I think there's a couple that come to mind. Yeah, there's quite a few. And
but there's like a major one for sure.
Well, yeah, the four bounce shot by Kawhi definitely stands out. but I think the reason why I can think of numerous plays and moments is because, again, and I can't help but ask you guys the same question, is just, do you find that you just relive those games and those moments, or because you've had 3 championships in the last 4 years that, like, no, you know what, I'm okay, I don't need to relive it, like, I've already got 3 championships, you know what I mean? Like, for us, it's like at least once every couple of days I just go onto YouTube and I just pick a random game from the playoffs and I just rewatch the 10-minute highlight package, because it just gives me goosebumps still. So for me, I mean, if I were to list off even just 3 off the top of my head, it would be the buzzer beater against Philadelphia, the steal and dunk against Milwaukee in game 3, and then the final free throws by Kawhi in game 7. But I mean, that's just 3. I mean, that might not even be the same 3 that Dre picks. Like, there's just so many.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget Orlando. So as our buddy Jason on the podcast, that's a rap, called the douchebag sweep, where we let them get one win and then we annihilated them. So that's that memory. I wish I came up with that. I have to go with the shot with Philly. What else could beat that? And I say that as also a fan of the 76ers. I mean, but it was the Raptors' year, so I'm very glad that happened. Obviously, with Milwaukee, I'm going to go with the Kawhi dunks on MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, that felt really good. And God, with Golden State, I might have to go with the final 0.9 seconds that lasted an hour. I mean, but this is where it gets interesting, because Jay brings up a good point. I'm sure everything still sticks out for you guys and the Warriors, because this is like the difference between destiny and a dynasty. Destiny's like the Bull or the Pistons championship in the mid 2000s, where it was a one and done deal. It had to happen. It felt glorious. And in dynasties, like the Bulls or the Lakers, that just kept going. And it's like, oh my God, this is like the engine that's never going to stop. So, I mean, I'm sure, because let's face it, we're not really experiencing a dynasty team ourselves. I'm sure every single moment is precious for you guys. I mean, how is it for you guys?
It's weird, because the first season felt much like riding a hot streak, you know, in a game of craps where you're just like, everything you're shooting is coming up what you want. And I felt like it was strange because being a Warriors fan for so long, we had seen the team string together, you know, a quarter or two of just ridiculous shooting and defense. You're like, you know what, if this team holds it together, they're going to be unstoppable. And they never held, you know, together. But then when I, you know, Steve Kerr came in and we were able to kind of replicate the success over and over and over and over, it was like, you know, let's hurry up and win this championship before this hot streak runs out. And then when we won the championship, we were like, hey, you know what, even though our team's young, just to have one is enough for us. We're just grateful, you know, to actually bring a title back to Oakland. But then, you know, the aftermath with the y'all got lucky and everyone you faced was injured. And, you know,
excuse me, when good. Doc Rivers said, oh, they got lucky, that was the only reason. Let's just make it clear. It was Doc Rivers.
I mean, LeBron James was quite vocal about that as well. Quite vocal. Let's not forget that either. Like, LeBron was quite clear that if he had a full squad, you know, it'd be a different story. Which, you know, to his credit, I think he may have proved it next year. But I think it was like once we hit the 73 wins and we realized, I think for example, right? So Steph Curry, he's like ankle injury prone. And then all of a sudden he's like, he's healthy. Okay, cool. And he's like killing. He was an MVP. Okay, cool. But in the back of our head is like, you know, where this guy's one ankle injury away from, you know, not being special anymore. And then he comes back and goes unanimous. And it's like, oh no, you know, to win this, like, you know, 12th game in a row, he's got to hit three straight threes in the final minute. And he does it. And it's like, wait a minute. We can bomb teams out at will. I think that's when the switch hit for us. It stopped being lucky. And it was like, okay, now we're putting headshots on teams. Anyone who ever disrespected us, let's take them out. And then when you get Kevin Durant on top of that, then it was like we were acting the mafia. Like, everyone who ever disrespected us, burned their vehicles and their families and their houses. You know what I mean? It was crazy. So now that KD's gone and we lost Iguodala and Livingston, now we're sort of coming back to earth with that deal. It's like, wait a minute, like nothing's guaranteed. And, you know, each game is kind of precious. And I was at the open practice yesterday and it was like, you know, $5 to get a chase, which will never happen again. But it was, you know, a lot of the crowd, he went to Oracle, you know, who can afford the $5. And when they were introducing the players for practice, Klay Thompson got the loudest cheer, even though he can barely walk. You know what I mean? Because I think we're realizing just how precious these players are and these moments don't come all the time. So I think that now we're coming full circle from, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's happening, to murder, death, kill, to, hey guys, you know, let's be grateful for what we have. So on the same vein of that, I kind of bring it back to you guys, considering the fact that you had the magical run, you topple over the dynasty for the time being. And the way we lost, where, you know, KD's leg explodes, Klay's knee explodes, it was like, not only did the team lose that the series, the devastation that's caused upon a franchise is going to be felt deep into next year. So the Warriors still haven't quite got their bearings back from that loss. But at the same time, the Raptors lose Kawhi Leonard, which was like, you know, the captain of the ship. Right now, as we talked about briefly before, no one in the media is really picking the Warriors or Raptors to come back to the finals, and the like fringe playoff teams at best, right? How does that make you feel going from champion to an afterthought in the blink of an eye, according to the media?
It's very different. It's really weird, and I think that the fact that we've just won our first championship, I think that hangover, not even hangover, just the feeling of that. And, you know, as I was just mentioning earlier, there's just even the sound of the word champion alongside our name and the sight of the gold patch on our jersey, things like that are kind of helping at least my psyche through this. And the feeling that the Raptors fans have had before this year, before the Kawhi one season era, was that we were always behind the eight ball, right? Like, you know, never getting a Christmas game or not getting as much coverage in the U.S. So there always was this underdog feeling for Raptors fans, and being thrown in as a, oh, maybe they'll do well in the playoffs, maybe they'll just make the playoffs and that's it. They're definitely not going to repeat as champions. This feeling is a very, very familiar feeling for Raptors fans that we're just going to be doubted on and we're just not going to do well. And You know, we've got this bulldog mentality that we just need to fight through. So it's nothing new. But I think the fact that we can still sit on the fact that, hey, well, at least we won the championship, that kind of eases the pain a bit. But you're right, it is weird. And, you know, I've been thinking about this since you brought it up. And I really cannot think of a time like any other season in NBA history where both finalists are just absolutely just disregarded the following season. I can't think of one.
No, because like, think about it. The team that loses will regroup. You look at the Cavaliers. Each time they lost a Golden State, it's like, right, what are we going to have to do? Who do we have to recruit? We have to beat these guys. You know, and then the Kyrie fallout happened, and it's like, how are we going to replace him? But the time that the Warriors lost to the Cavaliers, it's like, right, how are we going to regroup? Clearly LeBron's figured us out. Because it wasn't Tyronn Lue, let's be honest. How are we going to do this? Like, how are we going to go about this? But this is like the first time ever that, as you so aptly put, the captain of the ship, Kawhi Leonard, let's be honest, it was a team effort, but our odds were severely stronger with Kawhi Leonard. He's gone, and that's never happened before. Who kind of just says, oh, hey, we won. All right, I'm going to head out. Like, Kawhi Leonard. So, because that's never happened before, both teams are immediately out of discussion now. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, because you can think of every, like, one of the teams where it's like, oh, like, especially if it's a team that kind of gets to the finals in a fluky way, and then they lose, you're like, oh, man, they probably won't be back. The team that I always have won that won, well, I guess those 11 Mavs, there was kind of like, oh, hey, they finally got there, but no one was expecting them to really be a contender the next season.
No,
but
or the Pistons, you know.
I don't know about the Pistons. The Pistons were kind of scary.
The 06 Heat were the other team where I was just like, they won this title, but they're going to come back to Earth pretty fast. Right. And that's kind of what ended up happening. But yeah, no, it shows how maybe it's to Kawhi's importance, his strangeness that, yeah, he'd be like, yep, I just won a title in this city and, you know, finals MVP and all this stuff. And it's like, all right, well, cool, move it on. Next thing. But I mean, there are still some nice pieces on the Raptors roster. So it's not that, like, you know, Kawhi absconded with all the talent. You had a recipient of one finals MVP vote, Fred VanVleet. And Siakam, who is sort of was maybe the breakout star of the finals. So there are still those pieces there. And obviously there's this point guard that I don't really think that highly of, but that some people tell me is all right, Kyle Lowry. I guess, you know, again, maybe I'm sort of, well, you know, I was asking before about looking backwards. Now maybe I'm asking, I kind of want you to look forward a little bit to, like, what do you see because the Raptors, at least in sort of recent memory, they were so it was Lowry and DeRozan for all those years, and then there was the Kawhi team. And so, like, what do you see, you know, this team becoming, because, you know, they have a lot of pieces that are very young and are unproven, but also just who haven't had the chance for one way or another. And those who have, like I said, Siakam and VanVleet kind of really showed something. But, like, what do you see in the future for this team? What do you see going forward?
In terms of the immediate future, I think that this is still a strong team. I mean, if we look at how the team overall performed throughout the playoffs, it wasn't a one-man show. Yes, Kawhi was the release valve at certain points, and yes, he did save the team at several points throughout the playoff run. But I think specifically of the finals, and I thought, you know, while Kawhi was deserving of the finals MVP, at each victory, there was someone else who stepped up, whether it was Kyle Lowry going 11-0 to start off game six, or if it was Fred VanVleet hitting a couple of dagger threes near the end of that game, Pascal Siakam's game one. So I think that the experience gained from this entire playoff run is going to help the team moving forward this season. And if I were to make a prediction on how this team is going to perform this year, I think that they have the capability to finish third or fourth in the East.
Third?
Yeah. You can call me a homer if you like, but I...
No, I want to hear your top eight in the East.
My top eight?
Yes.
In order? In order...
Yes. Well, we know who one and two are.
Well, yeah, Philly, and Milwaukee are like 1A and 1B. You can, in my head, you can go either way with either of those two. Mm-hmm. I'd probably give a slight edge to Philly, but tomorrow I'll probably say Milwaukee. So it's really those two are head and shoulders above everyone else in the East. And then you have this like jumble of teams next that includes the Raptors, the Celtics, the Heat, the Pacers, and I guess you could throw in the Nets.
Y'all number three. You're right.
The East is really bad this year. Let's be honest.
You're right. My bad. I apologize.
It's funny you bring that up though, because I just finished an article for Raptors HQ breaking down how do the Raptors match up against each of these teams, and I was trying, I got to be honest, I'm trying hard not to be a homer, I'm trying to be realistic in terms of how the team matches up. And the versatility of Siakam, and he's got a lot on his shoulders this year. He's going to have to be the star. He's not going to make up for everything that Kawhi and Danny Green brought. But, he's improved steadily every year. And I have very high hopes on what he'll be doing this year. But in addition to that, people forget that OG Anunoby was supposed to be the rising star that came out of nowhere, that was supposed to help this team elevate it to a next level. And he had a horrible season last year and he didn't even play in the playoffs. So having him back and looking healthy, and I'm very eager to see how he does this year. So there's a couple of things that I think that will help out the Raptors this year. And I think, yeah, finishing third or fourth is very attainable. Not only because of their own internal growth, but there's a lot to dislike about the rest of the teams in the East.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, you talk about like, it's so top heavy because you have the Sixers and then the Bucks. And then, yeah, it's like every team you're like, well, they have some interesting pieces, but, you know, whether it's, I don't know, you know, like whoever else is around Kyrie, or that, you know, is Kemba really going to, and can Kemba do this for the Boston, and can Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum sort of progress and become those sort of top tier players? There's that opportunity for where, just because of that top heavy nature, if you're a team that has some kind of championship pedigree, and, you know, you have players like Siakam, like Van Fleet, like Lowry, who could kind of hold it together, and you've got a good coach, that can get you, you know, like a three seed if when you're competing amongst teams where it's not just like, oh, they're a lot more talented than we are. I hadn't thought of it that way, but it's more plausible than I maybe thought.
Well, I mean, one thing about the Raptors that we saw pretty quickly last year is when you have Gasol and Serge down low, there's a certain level of easy points your team just isn't going to get, because they will switch out and guard shooters, and they will protect the paint, and they force you in these really tough like floaters, mid-range type things on the move. So when you got guys like Lowry and Van Fleet, you know, who are ball hawks, and Siakam, of course, you basically kind of squeeze the opponent's offense into like they have to really, really, run their offense very fluidly and be physical. And on the flip side, with Gasol, Siakam, and Ibaka, y'all get a ton of easy putbacks. You know, it was a loose ball, but y'all were the biggest. So you pushed out and then grabbed it and, you know, kicked it out to Lowry for a three. And so you're able to manufacture those second chance points, those hustle points, while shutting them down for the other team. And when the Warriors were going up against you guys, it was like, in my head, I was like, okay, so basically the way for the Warriors to win is just bomb them out from three. Like, so when Kevin Durant came and he was drilling three over three, I was like, oh, there we go. And then when Klay Thompson was having his game six explosion, he was just drilling three after three. And I was like, that's pretty much the only way you can beat these guys is just a straight over the top assault. Mm-hmm. Because if you started playing that, like going for twos game with them, with the size and the smarts that they have and the athleticism, it's hard to beat the Raptors going two for two. So I think that when you look at that, compared to the rest of the East, no team that's not, you know, Philly or Milwaukee can just bang with you guys and trade 2-point buckets. So you just have to say, well, who can shoot threes? And quite frankly, I just don't believe in Boston. You know, I would love for Jaylen Brown to make that leap, but until I see it, I won't believe it, you know. And, you know, Hayward and
Kemba Walker.
Kemba, good players. And, of course, Tatum. But it's like, do I trust them to just, you know, go 50% from the trade ball two or three times in a series against the Raptors? Absolutely not. So I could easily see you guys getting that three spot and holding on. Now, I do have a question as far as the top two teams in the East. Who are you most concerned about, Philly or Milwaukee?
In terms of us beating them or?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. It depends because it's not which team is necessarily better because they're both fantastic. It's which team lost more in the offseason. I don't know because Jimmy Butler was a huge loss for Philadelphia. And the fact that they put all of their eggs in Tobias Harris, I mean, he's good, but like, I don't know so much about that. But then they have Al Horford, which is like, you know, it feels...
Hold on. Yeah. That was the nicest shade thrown I've ever heard in my life.
Well, we're from Toronto. You kind of get used to having to converse that way.
You're living up to the stereotype.
Well, these are teams that I care about. If you start talking about New York or Cleveland, then yeah, you'll see the real show come out. But I mean, the Bucks as well, like, oh, you know, they lost some key pieces, but hey, they got Robin Lopez, some brotherly action. Giannis's brother's coming in. So it's like, how much have they, like, replaced what they have lost? Because both teams have lost quite a bit. They're still the best in the East. That's without question. But if I had to pick myself, and this isn't because I'm a Philly fan, I'm going to go Philly because I think if Brett Brown got his act together and was consistently always good, I don't know. The 76ers might be impossible to beat coming out of the East. That's the way I see it.
I would actually argue against that. And I'm going to go Bucks as the harder one, only because as much as I love, I also like the way that Philly has structured their roster. My biggest concern for them is where is their scoring coming from? Jimmy Butler was there. You know, we talked earlier about how Kawhi Leonard was the release valve for the Raptors a lot of times. Jimmy Butler was that for the Sixers, and I have no idea who's going to be taking shots in the clutch for them now.
Ben Simmons, he just shot a three today.
Yeah, it's cool. We have confirmation. He can do it.
He's clearly figured it out. There's no need to worry.
That's good. You know what? I stand corrected. But in addition to that, I think, you know, what's kind of got lost in the whole Butler deal is that JJ Redick's also gone, and his ability to space the floor and provide that, even just the threat of the 3-point shot, and having both of those guys replaced by Al Horford and Josh Richardson. I'm sorry, I don't know how, like, they could be a top five defense, probably the number one defense by the end of the season, but I have no idea where the scoring is coming from. As for the Bucks, they also, I think, got worse, but not as their drop wasn't as pronounced, I guess, as in my mind as Philly's was. Milwaukee, right. You know, if we remember the Eastern Conference Finals, Malcolm Brogdon was, and I think was like the second best player in that series. I mean, Middleton had
he was a problem.
Brogdon was a beast, and we didn't have an answer for him. And now he's no longer there. They lost Mirotic. They lost Tony Snell, who's a Raptor killer. He's no longer there. Thon Maker's gone. So like a lot of guys that really helped them get to where they were at last year are no longer there. And now they've brought in, I get it, Kyle Korver is perfect for that team. Robin Lopez alongside his brother is great. Wes Matthews will have his moment, but I think he's generally a minus. I don't know. I think Milwaukee got slightly worse, but not as you know, big a drop off as the Sixers. So I'd fear more for the Bucks.
You might be right.
So basically, they just have Giannis and a bunch of shooters. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
But that was last year, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not going to work because at some point, you're going to need someone other than Giannis to get a tough bucket, or Giannis has to hit a three. And then on the defensive end, we saw, you know, that those shooters sometimes can get left on the island and cook for breakfast. Dr. Tom, question for you, because we've heard from the rapper's point of view for sure. And I think what we heard was very accurate. How do you feel about that rematch we're going to have with them before Klay comes back? Who you got, Warriors or Raptors?
Where is it? Is it in Toronto or is it in the cozy confines of the Chase Center?
Cozy confines. Let's see. That's all. Okay, I typed in Warriors versus Raptors, and it showed me the finals results from last year's. Yeah. Burned my eyes.
You don't want to see that. Just forget about it. Forget about it. What happened? I just blacked out for that period.
You lost? Oh my gosh. Okay.
You gotta get like a blocker application on your browser where it's like, never show me this again. Hide this from all history. Trust me, we got used to that.
That reminds me of why I hate Alphonso McKinney. okay.
Is March 5th? In San Francisco, March 5th, Thursday, March 5th, and then 11 days later in Toronto.
That's a while from now.
Yeah, you got to wait till March.
Damn.
Well, that first
game might be back.
I mean, that Chase Center crowd is going to be rocking and raucous, and so I think going to lift up the that's going to lift up the war. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'd probably lean towards that because I think if you look at even without Klay in the lineup, if you look at, you know, who the Raptors have lost, and I'm not just thinking about Kawhi, but also Danny Green, who I think that maybe Steph can get cooking a little bit more. I mean, I don't know if they're going to trot out the box and one again. It'll be a little, it'll be a little tougher with D'Angelo out there, but I just think that maybe Steph can get going a little bit more, and you know they can't play a high school defense on him, and so you know the Warriors can get a win. But
hey, the high school defense worked.
I don't remember that. Like I remember winning game four in Portland, and then there's just like white space until summer league started.
Isn't it also possible that Klay is back by then? I mean, he did say he's out till All-Star break, but that those two games happen after the All-Star break, right?
Yeah, true.
So it's possible.
Wow.
Yeah, this this is looking a little dicey.
No, I hear you. I wouldn't rush him back either.
Did you see him? He's out there. He's on the beach. He's doing all kinds of crazy stuff. He'll be fine. He's basically Wolverine. He is basically Wolverine. He will be fine.
So when you see the Clippers come to town to Toronto, how are you going to feel about that?
It's weird because when the trade happened, and not to sound like a baby, but it happened literally on my birthday. Thanks, Kawhi. That's what I woke up to. I was like, why is my phone going off? Oh, birthday messages. Duh. Oh, shit. Kawhi's gone. No, it's not my birthday. But
that sounds terrible.
No, it was fine. When it happened, I was like, hey, I'm fine with this. I was a big fan of his as a Spur. And I was so ecstatic when he was coming because, again, I'm a big fan of his. He's one of my all-time favorite players. He's textbook. I love that kind of a player. And when he left, it's like, oh, well, okay, we assumed it was going to happen. At least it wasn't the Lakers. If there was, like, a super team left in the league, that would have been it. But for once, there's parity. Every team is, like, an even playing field. People like to say that the Lakers are going to run away with it, but this is a hot take I still stand by. Seeing the injury history, I don't know. Maybe they won't even make it that far. My super hot take is if everybody gets injured and LeBron or Anthony Davis single-handedly, together it's fine, single-handedly has to carry the team, they might not even make the playoffs. But I digress. The Clippers, yeah, he went to the Clippers, so I said, you know what, that's fine. It's not a super team. Seeing him in the jerseys, though, and they're not photoshopped, that's when it started to hurt a little bit. That's when it was like, okay, yeah, now I get it. Now, like, the Clippers are forcing him to take part in, like, these promo ads that he's clearly uncomfortable doing. Like, it's a little weird now. So when he actually comes back to town, I don't know. I'm going to be following the Clippers heavily, but that game's going to – it's going to be weird. Jay, what do you think?
I'm going to applaud. I'm going to applaud. If, like, this is me hypothetically in the arena. I'm not going to be in the arena, but I would – you know, if I was in the arena, I would applaud him because, you know, we don't get that championship without it, right? So he did all he could for the 1 year he was here. He, you know, no ill feelings over right. here, right, other than – possibly ruining Dre's birthday. Other than that, like, it was, you know, he did what he came to do. If he left, yeah, and, you know, Dre hit it on the head. If he left for the Lakers for some reason, that would hurt. I mean, that would actually piss me off. But the fact that he left for the Clippers, that's okay. I can live with that. And the fact that he left but still got us a championship, hey, he's fine in my books.
I'm wondering if you'd be a little salty if he left to join the Lakers because that means LeBron beat Toronto one more time.
yeah no, that's 100%.
Well, yes and no. Yes, a little bit, but at the same time, it's LeBron against the league again, which, you know, like, the fact that we're not hearing that is great. He's a great player, but, like, I got sick of that story for the 12th time in one decade, you know. So,
well, I think it's fascinating because, you know, with Kevin Durant gone, hopefully he makes it a speedy recovery because the world needs to be blessed with Kevin Durant playing basketball.
Why are we talking about him? He doesn't play for the Warriors anymore.
Well, because Kawhi doesn't play for the Raptors. We're bringing up small forwards who went to new cities.
Okay, sorry. I'm just channeling Warriors Twitter's comments. Sorry.
Well, that's why I'm going to bring it up because we know that Kevin Durant may – you know, I'm 1,000% sure he'll be applauded when he comes back for sure. But
I hope so.
Underneath that applause will be this weird kind of like condescending, we hope you find happiness kind of feeling there. And I think that's
but
where
in
like
Brooklyn.
It's so strange. Well, yeah, because like Kawhi is the guy who like doesn't talk, right? He doesn't talk. You don't see him on social media. And he just like, I literally just hoop. That's it. Kevin Durant can't stop telling everyone that he just wants to hoop and not talk, but he won't shut up. And it's like the weirdest thing because it's like Kawhi is kind of like who KD thinks he is sometimes. Like, no, I'm just a solid Kawhi killer. It's like, no, Kawhi is actually that. So I think what happens is, you know, KD's a human guy with his own personality, but I think sometimes the projection that the fans get from him is like, oh, he just wants to be the silent assassin. Wait, he's on Twitter at 4 a.m. arguing 15-year-olds. That's weird. Wait a minute. Okay, it's like, who is this guy? We never quite got a handle on who he was besides Finals MVP, which quite frankly, at the end of the day, is the only thing that matters. I think it may be easier for y'all to deal with Kawhi because the man came in and was like, yeah, I'm here to ball, and then like left. He was like, thank you, and that was it. Like, you never really got to be like, well, Kawhi said this, or remember that time Kawhi is like, no, actually, Kawhi didn't say anything. He just laughed one time, and that was it. So I think it may be easier to get over in an ex-relationship when they never talked to you when they were there.
And the fact that he's out for the year, means he's going to be spending even more time on social media. So
more burner accounts.
He's just going to. Yeah,
Dr. Tom about to lose it. Dr. Tom, the biggest Kevin Durant fan in the world, is about to go off right now.
Hey, I love that. I think he's great on social media because he's just like, yeah, like I'm a person, and I think not to turn this into, you know, philosophy hour or something, but when you talk about like, well, he says he just wants to hoop and that, but then he's on, you know, Twitter or Instagram or whatever. I think two things. It's like, one, I think that's more in terms of like what he wants to talk about and what he doesn't want people being like, you stood this far away from the Warriors bench. So does that mean you're leaving for all the way to the East Coast, or are you going to a team in the Midwest and stuff like that? But also I think it's the kind of just the contradictory nature of being a human, whereas, you know, not to belabor the Kawhi is a robot meme, but like Kawhi might be a robot, and that's the thing, like Katie, but it's like these tensions in there, and so I don't know.
Kawhi might be a robot.
No,
he really might be.
He is a robot, we know that, but I think what's most important with KD is he could do whatever he wants on social media. the fact that he was so zeroed in on the court, that's what makes him special. Yes. If it's the other way around, which we've seen with a lot of players, where they just fall apart. Michael Beasley. Like who?
Michael Beasley.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. What I have to say is I wrote a season, because of course I did, I wrote a season review of Durant, and I talked about that kind of being this impressive thing that, and especially when you kind of, and this is somewhat ironic, compared it to Kyrie, where like, you saw the stuff and you kind of saw the dip in his play. You saw it in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Whereas Durant, he did it was all put on him, but like everything that you could actually measure and evaluate him on, he did it perfectly. And so, you know, I guess you could complain, but it's like, who cares? Like, he's doing everything to do to help this team win. And so, I don't know. It's that, you know, this is, it's been it's exciting getting ready for the season and kind of looking forward to it, but it really, and it's the sound sort of like what you were saying about, you know, what it feels like to be a champion and being like, well, I did about as much as Drake. So in other words, I did nothing, but you know, it's like you go after that, the season and the kind of the, not that, you know, the way it ended and all sort of stuff, that there's this like exhaustion and like, it was like in this, it was just like, oh, I've just checked out, and like, there's this, you know, the passion isn't there just because it's like, I'm sick of hearing this and I'm hearing all of these different takes repeated over and over. And you've gotten away from like the game on the court, which is the fun part. That's what we care about. We do, you know, there are plenty of dramas you can watch on Netflix or at the movies or whatever, but like, I want to see these players at play. That's what I want to hear being talked about. So it was like exhaustion, but now it's like, okay, maybe hopefully we can all get back to basketball basically, but we probably won't, and it'll be the same thing in a different key and on and
no,
on.
It won't. No, it'll be definitely different, because if you remember the team pre-KD, it wasn't like this. The worst we had was, oh, I think Draymond cursed out the coach. Like, that was the worst drama we had. No, I think Draymond punched LeBron in the dick. Like, that was it. Stephen Clay, low maintenance as we're going to get.
I wasn't even talking about the Warriors, like the Warriors specifically. I was sort of talking about the NBA as a whole and just how we talk about it, because all of this, like, oh, look, you know, the just this, like, that it's Game of Thrones or it's House of Cards or it's whatever. And I'm just like, can't it just be basketball?
When was it ever basketball? Do you remember Kobe and Shaq? What are you talking about?
Back in my, I don't remember Michael Jordan, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But
the man who was gambling the night before the game and coming up bleary eyed, dropping 50.
He did that, and I hauled my ass to those summer league games when I was hungover and had lost most of my money at the blackjack table. So, like, I feel like kinship with him about that.
I feel like the drama of the sport. I mean, because think about it: in football, you can't see the players' faces. In baseball, it's dry as hell. Basketball is like real time. It's like a combination of like ballerina gymnastics and rap battle intensity all the time at the same time. And I think that's why it's so dope. Like, guys like Drake get involved with it, because they can kind of relate to the idea of, it's like, I want to embarrass you. I don't want to get embarrassed, but I want to do it with style and grace, real time, on the fly, my own way. And I think that's what drives the billion-dollar industry that it is. The fact that we can come up here and spend 15 minutes psychoanalyzing guys. We have no idea who they are, but we have enough loose data points that we come up with like decently coherent arguments depending on how much tendency we have. And, you know, that's what makes the game so awesome to me.
And that's what happened when, you know, between when we won the championship and when Kawhi made his decision. Everyone became a detective based solely off of loose, like you said, loose data points. It was like, okay, well, Kawhi was seen at a Blue Jay game. Obviously, he's staying. Kawhi was
Home
seen
Depot.
In Niagara.
Who would
obviously
go there?
He's staying. Like, it's, we all were piecing. I was guilty of this more than anyone else. I was guilty of this. I was piecing together every single piece of information to say, hey, he's staying, and here's why. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we don't know these players, but at the same time, we feel like we do, because we have all of these different pieces of evidence that say that they are a specific narrative right. that we've built up in mm-hmm. our
yeah, and it's here. Tough because I feel like I could be wrong. More than a lot of sports, basketball is very vocal. Like you could literally hear Kevin Garnett shit talking guys on the court in some of the games. Like he's just like screaming his head off, saying stuff that I probably can't say here. Like you have that. You have Russell Westbrook interacting with people who are yelling at him in the crowds. Like it's just all right there. There's no barricade like a hockey rink. There's no distance like a baseball diamond. There's no, as you said, helmets and talking to each other with headsets and shit like a football gridiron. Like this is, you hear them yelling, interacting with fans. Kyle Lowry is a rocket, dips into the crowd. He takes somebody's French fry, gets back onto the court. I'll never forget that. Or LeBron James.
He's been getting a lot of French fries like Bill.
LeBron James doing that with nachos, the amount of times he's done that. Like, it's such an interactive experience. And I remember like, you know, like if you go to a game, you can flat out hear people yelling stuff. And a lot of the times the players flat out react. Like it's gotten weird to the point where a lot of viewers, I think, especially if they're there in person, almost have like an entitlement. Like they're there in the open. I put money on this game. I deserve to talk to these people. Like, you know them one-on-one, but you're right. We don't know anything about these people. We really don't. And as hilarious as it is to hear Kevin Garnett saying some really, really whack stuff, I don't know him as a person. I would love to think that I do because he's one of my favorite players and I idolized him growing up playing ball. And you would hear all the stuff. It's like, oh, that's what he's like. This is what it's like when he's angry. This is what it's like when he's hype. We don't know anything. And it doesn't matter how little of a barricade there is. We don't know these people at the end of the day.
Right. I think that proximity factor, it makes you feel like you know them because you see them so close and you observe them so close for so many games, so many years, and you see them through so many emotions that you kind of get the idea that I think I know you. And, you know, sometimes we guess right. You know what I mean? Sometimes we're a little psychic. But most times we're completely wrong. And, you know, we're not actually being doxed for it or it doesn't count against us. So I guess we have carte blanche to just keep being wrong all the time. I figure it's fair. But I'll give you guys one more opportunity to be wrong tonight. Yep. Can you right now give me your predictions for MVP of the league and your way too early who's going to be the champion prediction? So MVP and Ooh. Champ for 2020. What do you got?
I guess, Dre, you want to take this one first? Or you want me to go first?
God.
If you say Kyle Lowry, I'm cutting the feed and burning this podcast.
No, I love the Bulldog, but let's be real. Okay.
Bulldog, get out of here.
He's got heart. No matter how you feel about his stats, the guy's got heart. Okay. Oh, God. MVP, though?
Oh, he's biting his lip.
MVP, though?
This man became a champion, and all he has heart all of a sudden. Get out of here. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm sorry. Sorry, you're right. He's a champion. I apologize.
Fred Van Vliet is a bulldog. Kyle Lowry is a dog that barks really loud in the first quarter and then goes and hides in his doghouse for the rest of it.
Wow.
Only because
he just eliminates other
finals. That's only because Van Vliet comes out and does the dirty work for him, as he said in his after-game interview. I don't know if you caught that, when it's like, he was being interviewed by Kyle Lowry, and it's like, well, Kyle Lowry, let me tell you what it feels like to be a champion. I kept having to clean up after this guy named Kyle. So,
wow.
I was like, you haven't seen it, you should look out. Anyways, yes. God, this is tough because if I say the MVP might be the Clippers' Kawhi, who knows what the finals are going to be like if he's even going to make it? Because let's be honest, a lot of the time when the MVP gets picked, it's not the finalist. Giannis didn't make it to the finals. Derrick Rose back in the day, same deal. I like it so tough.
Well, you ain't gonna go that far back. You can say James Harden and Russell Westbrook. It's okay.
Hey,
it's gonna be neither.
Gotta get in the first round.
It's gonna be neither of them because they're both gonna be competing. Did you see the preseason game where like already Russell Westbrook was like underneath the net dishing it out? It's like, stop getting assists, just dunk the damn thing. Like,
oh. Hey, did you see James Harden hit a one-legged, or didn't hit a one-legged three-point shot? But man, it was really cool, said no one ever.
So I'm not going with either of the usual suspects. God, MVP though, I got to think, Jay, do you have an answer yet or no?
It's someone in LA. It's going to be either Davis or Curry, one of those two. And if I had to pick one of them, I'm going to go with Curry, not because I'm on a Golden State of Mind pod. It's because, I mean, we've heard out of LeBron that, you know, this is Davis's team and I want to elevate him and I want to make sure he gets defensive player of the year or whatever. He's at the end of the day, LeBron's going to kick in and take over the reins whenever Anthony Davis fails. So it's at the very least.
Whenever he fails, you have like his inevitability.
Dwight Howard 2.0. Can't wait. It's
at the very least, they're going to split votes there. So neither of them are going to get it. And Curry has a lot to carry. Like in my head, there were always three. It was going to be someone from the Lakers. It wasn't going to be the Clippers because of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard kind of splitting the vote. And I use the same methodology with the Lakers, right? So really it was going to boil down to Giannis or Curry. And if the thing is with the Bucks, their expectation is they have to finish first in the East. Whereas the Warriors, if they just even finish in the top four with the way the team is currently constructed, Curry's going to get the MVP.
That's it. Yeah. That's actually a fair point. God, if I had to pick, though, I feel like if it's anything like last year with how Paul George kind of usurped the leadership position from Russell Westbrook and OKC, I don't know, maybe if he takes a similar position, you know, post-injury struggles and all of that. I mean, if they don't split the votes, it could be either of those two guys. But in terms of actually winning the championship, though, God, I mean, at this point, it's like, okay, it's going to be either the Bucks and the Sixers in the finals. In the West, God knows. I mean, if I had to guess, because you have like a lot of stuff going on in the West. I will pick the 76ers only, not because it's going to be accurate, only because I have a bad feeling the Lakers are going to make it into the finals and I don't want them to win. So I'm going to say the East is going to take it. But who knows, maybe my hot take will actually be right, which I think has like a 5% chance of working, but it might. They might all just get so injury prone. They have no bench. They might not make the playoffs. Who knows? So let's go 76ers because I like them, but it's probably wrong. But I want the process to finally be finished. So
end it. End it now.
Dr. Tom, where are you going with this?
Well, I think I've said a couple times that I've been kind of leaning the Curry to win the MVP this year for all the reasons that were brought up. I'm trying to think if I can throw someone out there that I might think to who could do it just for the sake of something interesting, some variety. I am pretty high on the Sixers. I think they very well, you know, could win the title. They're sort of the team that I if I had to, you know, put money down on someone, I'd probably put it on them. So maybe there is this great irony that I'm going to say this on the night that Ben Simmons finally makes a 3-point shot in a game. But maybe Ben Simmons just puts together some sort of ridiculous season and he can be the offense for the Sixers that wins the first seed and just rolls to the finals. And in that case, that's your MVP. I'd guess that'd be a hell of a story and it'd be somebody new and it'd be something a little different. So I'll say, for the sake of variety, toss out Ben Simmons' name. I'd go with Curry, but I do think the Sixers, if you had to ask me who's going to win the title, that's probably the team I'm going to pick right now.
But don't forget, he's not just going to be MVP. He's also going to be Rookie of the Year.
Nice.
You gentlemen have all made excellent arguments. A lot of Philly love in here. I echo the earlier point that there's a lot of parity, a lot of splitting up of responsibilities. Most of the good teams have, you know, duos So I it's hard for me to see, as you said before, AD winning the MVP with LeBron there. Obviously, Harden and Westbrook cancel each other out. I think same thing with the Clippers. And in Philly, there's so many pieces that work together. You know, it'd be hard for me to see like, oh, Ben Simmons gets the MVP. It was like, well, what was Embiid doing? Not getting 25 and 12 every night. You know what I mean? So I think I'm going to have to go a little outside the box here. I think Tom just referenced with kind of a dark horse here. Either it's going to be Giannis just because he has the biggest workload and he's the biggest, most athletic guy running around right now, which means to me, he's always going to have the ball in his hands in the post, outside the post, and he'll be playing defense like a madman, and he has no one else to defer to. So his numbers are probably going to be gargantuan. However, I think people may have got a little, you know, Giannis fatigue after seeing him flame out in the playoffs like that. They may be like, well, maybe he's not as good as we thought. I don't know. Maybe come too early. I'm going to go outside the box here. It's not because he has a super hot rap beef right now with Shaq. I'm going Damian Lillard.
Dame Dollar
always gets his team in the playoffs every single year.
Dame time.
This is the year. He's going to, okay, like, you know, CJ McCollum and he are a pretty good tag team, but no one's saying like, oh, you know, besides me, I kind of love CJ. No one's saying CJ MVP candidate. So if CJ averages 20, no one will care. If Dame can put up another season where he's averaging 27 points, 26 points, and he's, you know, hitting those big shots, people in their mind are going to have a narrative from him last year booting the OKC Thunder out of contention forever. Yeah. They're going to remember that. Yeah. So when he gets hot this year and puts a couple games together, I guarantee the national conversation is going to shift. Hey, we've been sleeping on Damian Lillard this whole time, et cetera, et cetera. Now, they're not going to do anything in the playoffs, obviously. But as far as their regular season award, I think the Portland Trailblazers have proven time and time again they are built for the regular season, and Damian Lillard is a killer. So my outside-the-box MVP pick is Damian Lillard.
Nice.
However, he will not be anywhere near the finals, as Shaq told him in his battle rap. Now, think about it. For the rest of Dame's career, every time he loses, people are going to play the Shaq disc. Like, Shaq has put a hex and a curse on his career. And I feel bad because Dame's from Oakland, but at the same time, hey, Shaq has some pretty good bars, so I can't hate. Yeah. As far as my title choice, it's obvious, the Golden State Warriors, right? now you're probably saying, hey, you're a homer. You were just at Hooptopia. I know, I'm brainwashed drinking the Kool-Aid. However, Klay Thompson comes back, right? Fresh legs. Everyone else, Kawhi, Paul George, LeBron, AD, injury-prone guys, worn down. You're going to have Klay Thompson just for 2 months? 2 months of fresh Klay Thompson? Hungry? Oh, my goodness. Like, it could be pretty terrifying. And as we've seen, no one, and I mean no one, besides 3-1 LeBron, has proven that they can beat Steph, Klay, and Dre in the past 5 years. It hasn't happened, folks. Look it up. If Klay, Steph, and Dre are healthy, they don't lose unless it's a miracle 3-1 deal. Now, you might be saying, I don't know, maybe it's a fluke. But then again, ask the Houston Rockets last year who had the talent and the computers and the flopping and still somehow lost the game 6 at home to Steph, Klay, and Dre. There's something about that combination.
To be fair, the Houston Rockets also had Chris Paul, and he only has one hamstring. So it was tough.
Chris Paul's never going to see a playoffs again. Oh.
Oh. That's a shame.
Yeah, so that would be my pick for the championship of the Warriors, and I hope I was able to explain it well enough to, you know, disguise my homerism. But now we're closing in on an hour-long podcast. I swore it'd be half an hour, so my apologies. We had so much fun. I want to thank our guests, Jay and Dre, for coming through. Do you have any parting words for Dub Nation, guys?
Oh, thanks again for having us on. This is a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, let's just get the season started already. Cause I just want to see some real basketball already. I want to see how all of our teams do, because I'm sick of watching. I'm lying. I'm not sick of watching these YouTube videos. I'll still watch them. I'm going to watch one right after this pod, but I just want to get this season started already.
Yeah. First off, thank you for inviting us back. We love it here, and I sincerely do love the Golden State Warriors, and I can't wait to see what their own season's going to look like. We haven't even talked about D'Angelo Russell once, but I'm excited to see what he's going to do over there. I want to see how this pans out. It's a very different team, but I do believe in Steph and in Klay. Draymond as well, who I think gets a bad rap because of his shit-talking or his not punching, but I think sincerely he's a fantastic player. I think sincerely he is a fantastic player, and I probably like underrated the biggest threat on the team, because when he's on there, like the plus minus when he's on there is insane. And I don't know. I think it's going to be a very exciting season. We both have a pretty different lineup, both of our teams, but we also have something to prove that we can dish it out in a season where every team is generally spread well across the board. And we don't have, it's anybody's game. It's not going to be set in stone. We both have a lot of stuff to prove. And I think with the heart that both of our teams have and the great fan bases, it's going to be great.
Wow. Kind words from the champions. And Dr. Tom, can you close us out with some advice? Being that you are a multiple-time champion fan, can you give these new champion fans some advice on how to hold the title and the crown for the next 9 months or so?
Let's see. Buy as much champions merch as you can.
Already done.
Because you'll always want it. You know what? You still need more. And I'd like to say you're welcome to the economy of Toronto and of Canada for encouraging people to spend their hard earned you guys are the dollar, right? Dollars,
the Canadian dollar,
yeah, the Canadian
yeah.
dollars.
Yeah.
Spend those hard earned Canadian dollars buying some good Toronto Raptors championship swag, because you've earned it. Not to get too bleak, but you never know when something like that'll come again. So enjoy it while it lasts.
Like I said, it's
Dr. Tom with the field threats.
Like I said, it's Dynasty versus Destiny. This was Destiny. Who the hell knows? It's gonna be a while, but we're in it for the long run, right? So
yes, well, former champion to current champion, and we're both conference champions. Hopefully we can get a Warriors-Raptors part two. You know, we dubs, we like doing these finals things in series, so we might see y'all again anyway. I want to thank all the listeners for checking us out. Folks, Jay and Dre from Raptors HQ, and of course, Dr. Tom, as always, I am the gold-blooded king, Daniel Hardy, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Have a good night.